You are listening to the 9 to 5 Outsiders podcast with me, Usman Diallo, where you can learn tips and ideas on how to overcome the challenges of leaving your job to start your own business journey. If you are all about challenging the status quo and will not settle for average, then you have come to the right podcast. So if you are listening to this podcast right now, chances are you have student loan, credit card, or medical debts. As a matter of fact, for the first time in history, our nation has a record of $1.5 trillion of student loan debt, leaving millions of Americans struggling to pay off their debt. That is why I've partnered with Mediator Debt Solutions, a company that specializes in helping thousands of people like you acquire financial debt relief by helping them resolve their student loan, credit card, medical, and other forms of unsecured debt. Mediator Debt Solution has helped thousands of people reduce their debt with 40% to 60% saving and become debt-free within 2 to 3 years. To learn more about your free consultation, go to www.phpdebtsolutions.com/sm/12729 or click on the link in the episode's description details for your free consultation.
Komi, can you see me? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, awesome.
All right, so we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but it looks like we got it figured out. All right, so welcome everybody. Welcome to another episode of Facebook Friends Offline. And I'm excited about today's episode. I'm extremely excited because the guests that I have today, I think you guys are going to be very, very impressed with his story. So let me tell you a little bit about him. His name is Komi Afetse, and he's currently a U.S. Army officer, and he's also an engineer at the U.S. at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. He had a lot of success in his life, but his life wasn't always like this. He had a lot of struggle. I mean, he had so many issues with the U.S. immigration, customs, and everything. And I was so impressed by his story. I say, I want to have him on the show. And he's also an author of a book called Chasing Your Dream, an African immigrant story in America, which you can see from the background right there. And I'm excited to have him on the show. Komi, it's a pleasure to have you, man. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Usman. Thank you. And thank you for everyone that will be watching us tonight, maybe tomorrow, another day. But I'm pleased to be here tonight.
Okay, good to have you. Good to have you. So I want to kind of go back to the beginning because I'm going to tell you how I learned about your story. I was on LinkedIn, right? I was just scrolling up and down on LinkedIn, and I ran into a picture of you and your book, and I was like, Chasing My Dream, an African immigrant story in America. I'm an African. I'm an immigrant. I live in America. I got to read this story. So I read, but I listen to a lot of audiobooks. So I said, let me get you on audiobooks first. If I like it, I get the copy. So I got the audiobook. I was in my car and I listened to the book the entire time. I couldn't even stop. I was like, man, this is such an unbelievable story, because you talk a lot about, you know, the type of mindset that you need to have to chase your dream, right? You talk about adversity. You talk about so many different things. So for the viewers right now, I want you to take us back. You know, if you would like to take us back all the way back to the beginning, you know, how did you grow up?
So I was born in Togo, West Africa. And I grew up pretty much my entire life until my first 2 years in college back home in Togo, West Africa. I grew up in mostly a polygamous family. My dad has four wives and, you know, my sibling, I have a total of 17 siblings. So I just grew up like a normal kid, I would say. Big family. For my knowledge, so I grew up just you know, doing the basic things. We didn't have much, but my dad was working for this French company. And in fact, he retired from this French company. So my childhood was just okay, I will say. So we move around Togo a little bit because my dad would be moved every 5 years to a different city because of his job. So we kind of follow him until I was about 9-10 years old when my dad retired. So we settled in the capital city of Lomé. So I will say most of stuff that I remember exactly from 10 year old and on, it happened in capital city of Lomé. So just one of this area called Tokwen Dumasese, where I grew up, play soccer with other kids, went to public school and, you know, public high school, public college, all the way up till I get my visa to come to America.
Wow. So, and then we're going to go back. We're going to go to that part of the visa getting it, because that's also very interesting. So I'm originally from Ivory Coast, right? Yes. Very close. And I've been to Togo. I've been to Togo myself. Okay. I've been to Lomé. I have family in Lomé. So when I was a little kid, but you talk about how it was always a dream for you to come to America. And I relate to that because when I was a child, I remember my dad used to come to America. And you remember those VHS tape?
Yes.
He used to have those VHS tape. He would record himself. And when he would come back home from America, we would watch the tape. And we thought, man, one day I'm going to be there, right? So I always had this dream that one day when I get out of, when I graduate from high school, I get a chance to come to America. So for you, that was always a big dream for you.
Yes.
But it wasn't easy.
No.
Because not only you applied once for the visa, twice, three times. And it took you, you applied three or four times.
I got it on the fourth attempt, fourth time.
You got it on the fourth attempt. So
yes.
Most people will quit after the third attempt. What was the motivation behind, like, what was your mindset at the time? I'm just curious. I really want to know.
So you all begin with part of the curriculum they teach. I believe the equivalent in American education system would be like ninth grade. We have this class called history and geography class. And this class is the class where they teach us about other continent. I don't remember if you relate or you can relate. You have
some other people. Yes, I relate.
So we have this class that we have to take. So we have this professor then who was very passionate when he's teaching history. So when he come to history and geography, this professor was very passionate about talking about, I mean, we learn about Asia, Europe, other continent. But when he came to American continent, he was so passionate. He's like, you know, he talked a little bit about the whole American continent, but he emphasized a lot on the country of the USA. And he's like, United States is the best place on earth. You can go there without anything and you can make your way. And then he talked about how American helped save Europe in the two war. I mean, the things that America did around. So he was very passionate. And on top of that, we used to watch American movies a little bit on the left and the right. So this movie that you go to video club that you watch and pay like, I don't know, maybe 2 cents or 5 cents and watch. So all that combined create this powerful dream for me, say, you know what, this country sounds really awesome. I want one day to visit or at least to live in this country. So that's how the dream or the desire began as an innocent child. I believe I was 15 or 16 years old when I heard about the country first, and then I start digging a little bit more. And then we hear about songs and we listen to songs, we watch movies, and all this kind of paint a picture of this place where there is endless possibility. So and I went through high school with this idea in my mind, say, once I get the opportunity, I'm going to travel to this place. And every time we chat with friends, my goal was like, you know what, once I finish my high school and college, I'm going to go there. And the joke always was like, how are you going to get there? Because back then, me and my friend, all we know that the way you can come to America back then is either you win a Divi lottery, which everybody play every year.
I remember that.
And you can do that. If you are lucky, you can be selected. Or you can get a business visa for people who come for business or tourism. You know, usually people who are wealthy are doing something. And the third option that we knew was a student visa, because we just know that you can apply university to get accepted to you, and then you can go to the process and, you know, beginning your process. So that was the only option that was available to us, because we didn't have money to have business people. We don't have that luck to win a Divi. So student visa was the only option for us. So after I graduated from high school in 2000, I say, you know what? I need to put this plan into action. And I'm those person very on. I read a book called The Game of Life. I talk about it a little bit in my book, The Game of Life.
I remember that.
Yeah. So this book.
That was your friend's parents' book.
My
friend's
parent brought it to school. And then we didn't have enough. I didn't have enough time to listen, you know, to read the book, because he was told that he shouldn't take this book away because this book was not for kids. So he brought the book and we just, you know, kind of glanced at it. And then in the summary, he talked about the subconscious, the power of, you know, the conscious mind, the subconscious mind. He talked about all this notion that in my young mind, I couldn't understand. But something stuck with me. He said, if you keep repeating something over and over again and focus your mind on it, and it can become your reality if you really believe it. So I think that was all I gathered from that book. So this notion early on got hold of me. So that's what I started doing little by little. Like I was affirming that, hey, I got my opportunity to go to America, even though I have no parent in America. I don't know anybody that live in America. I didn't know how it's going to happen. But I keep repeating this stuff for myself over and over and over. So the time come to put this dream into action. So when I was eligible to apply for student visa, that's what I did first time. And that was December 31st, 2001, my first attempt. It didn't work out. And then they told me.
And I remember there was a part of your story when you said your friends were telling you, hey, let's go celebrate the New Year's Eve. And you're like, I don't want to go celebrate. I missed my chance of going to America. What do you tell me? I gotta go celebrate.
So you believe, like, from the time I heard about America, maybe ninth grade, and the first time I applied for visa is like maybe 5 years later. So you can imagine dreaming, thinking about something for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you got a chance to present yourself for the interview.
Yes.
So
yes.
I went to this interview.
I can't relate. I can't relate because I didn't apply actually we have a viewer, Raymond. He said that he went six times, so he can relate to you.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
But for me, I'll tell you a little bit about what happened to me.
Okay.
I was supposed to be coming to America in 2004, but I had a car accident.
Okay. You
know, it was actually December 31st. December 31st, I was getting ready to go celebrate with my friends. And then there was a car on the side of the road. He was going too fast. And then I was walking and he hit me, you know?
Wow.
So because of that, you know, I couldn't go to school for a while. And you know how it is if you can't study. So I kind of like failed my exam. But I'm telling you, man, I was so devastated. So I can relate to what you're saying because I had to wait another year. But for you, you got to wait. You had to wait like 3 or 4 years to go and apply again.
No, the when I got denied on December 31st, I was told by the, you know, the consul, I said, well, you know, you are not qualified this time. Just come back. And they didn't give me any specific reason. As I mentioned in my book, they are not obligated to tell you the reason why. They can deny you for any reason. So they say, well, you know, just come back. And I say, okay, well, that's not too bad. Then I can go back. So that was 2001. So in 2002, you know, I wrote to the school. I told them that the visa didn't work out. They sent me another form called I-20. That's the admission form.
I-20, that, yes. I used to have I-20.
And then they sent it to me again. So I gathered all my documentation and I went back to the embassy. That was in 2002. And then they denied me again without not much, you know, explanation. They say, you can come back in the future. I say, oh, okay, no problem. 2003.
Without even telling you why.
They don't tell you why. They didn't tell me why. So in 2003, I gathered myself again and I said, you know what? Let me go try again. I went 2003. They said, deny again. I was going, like, I was just writing to the school. I said, well, they deny me, they deny me, they deny me. And then for the fourth attempt in 2004, finally, March 1st, 2004, I went to the embassy. I submit my file in a big packet. And then the interviewer, he looked at the file and then he locked my passport. So he saw all the time that I came before and I was denied. They called, they will say application this date, application this date, application this date. So it's like, why did they deny you all these 3 times? I said, I don't know. They just told me I wasn't qualified to come back. And then, you know, he asked me a few questions. The whole interview lasts maybe 15 minutes for the fourth time. And then he just said, well, you know, who'll call you? And then they kept your file. So the saying in back home in Togo is, if they kept your file, that's a good news because they're going to study it. And, you know, even
because they could have said all deny.
All deny immediately. Most deny happen immediately. But if they keep you, your passport and your file, that means they want to look at it and possibly they have a few questions or they might just grant you the visa. So that day I walk, I was like, oh my God, I think this is actually happening. So that's how the fourth attempt worked out. And I went back to the embassy maybe 10 days later to get my passport with my visa and finally to get on my journey to come to America.
So that was, at that point, that was 3 setbacks, right?
Yes.
That was 3.
Yes.
And then March 24, 2004, you come to America, right?
Yes.
I remember the date because my birthday is March 23rd. So you come to America, right?
Yes.
You arrive at the airport. You like standing in line. You get to the front and they tell you to step to the side, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
They start checking your bags. I remember you were talking about you have like gari and tapioca in your bag.
Yes.
And then what happened?
So, you know, I left that Tuesday, 23rd of March, and then I transit to France. And then on the 24th March, I landed in Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky Airport. I was supposed to transition from that airport to go to Alabama. Alabama was my college that was my final destination. So when I came to Cincinnati Airport, as everybody was getting off the plane, we were walking, and then my turn came. I'll give my passport and all the documents to the immigration officer. So he was looking through it, and then he will ask me a few questions that I really didn't understand, because one thing you will notice later on, that American accent is different than British accent that we were taught in Africa. So I couldn't understand 100%. much of what he was saying. So I would nod yes, no, maybe. At one point, he just tell me to step aside. So when I stood aside, there was another officer who came, and then there was a lady. So two officers came and escorted me to a small room.
Wow.
Yes, that was it. So apparently I was denied entry. So this is looking back. The reason why everything happened is my school supposed to begin March 15, 2004. I was arriving March 24. So I was almost 10 days late, right?
But people do it all the time.
Yes, they do it all the time. So it is based solely on the officer to determine if they're going to let you in or not. They can request that, do you have a documentation from your school authorizing you to come late? So really, what the misconception we have in Africa is when you got the American visa, we think that, oh, I'm good to go. I'm going to America. It's not true. The visa allows you to get on the plane and present yourself at the border, meaning airport, seaport, or any other entry. Then the officer will interview you. They are the one who are going to decide if they're going to let you in or not. So it could be some officer could be like, yeah, you know, he will see everything, say you're good to go, I'll go. So it based on the assumption or the assertion they're going to make of you, that determination right there. So that officer say, why was I late? And I think I answer yes or no. I didn't, you know, I wouldn't understand what he was asking me. So I would just nod in my head. I would say yes.
You didn't speak any English at the time.
Not at all. My English was so bad. And again, remember when we were going to school in Africa, especially in Togo, which is French speaking country, English classes, I used to skip those classes because we say, well, you know, English, we're not going to do much with it. But looking back now, that was a big mistake. So I was stepping aside. I was searched. My baggage, everything was searched. I mean, they searched the food that I brought with me, gari, tapioca, they searched it. They took it and go test it to see if that was any kind of substance. I mean,
they didn't know what it was. They were like,
they didn't know what it was. So they strip searched me. They went through all my stuff, like they dumped my whole suitcase and went through my clothes one by one. And finally, they say, sir, you have been found inadmissible to the country. I was placed in handcuff and put in shackle. And then I was taken into Cincinnati County Jail. So my first night in America, I spent it on the floor in jail in America. Because once we get to the jail.
I want the viewers to picture this right now. You apply for the visa. You didn't get it until the fourth time. You finally get the visa. You come to America. You make it here to Cincinnati. You're getting ready to go to school in Alabama. And at the airport, they stop you and they say, oh, something happened because you couldn't get a ticket, right?
Yep.
You couldn't get a ticket for the plane.
Yes.
And now they tell you that, okay, your first day in America, you're going to stay in jail. I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah, it is crazy because everything is flashing back in your mind because I waited 4 years keep applying for the same thing, 4 years. And then you get in and then they tell you you are inadmissible based on some misunderstanding about what was happening. And then I was put in jail the very first night. In fact, if you Google my name right now, if you go to the pictures, you will see a mugshot, my mugshot, that was taken 24 March 2004. It's still there. That's the proof of what I'm saying, because it is not, I don't own that picture. It's through some, you know, website. My mugshot is still there the day I arrived in America and I was placed in that county jail. So again, you were asking what kind of mindset you have to have to go through all this. The first one is you have to I believe early on, once I get the idea that I want to go to America or do something that similar, I lock it in my mind. And I said, that's what I'm going to do. Like the rest of my life, I'm going to try that several times to see if it works. And then the second one is you have to be persistent. You have to be persistent. If it is something that you really, really want to do, you really want to see that in your life, you have to devote your time, because whatever you're doing currently is going to add up in the future. It will add up, it will show up in your future, what you are currently doing with your time. So I was devoted to go and try this. Meanwhile, I was still back there. I was, you know, in school, in college, doing other stuff, but I was focused on getting this thing done and focused on getting to this place. Yes. So that was the only thing I said, I'm going to try until a set of time. If that doesn't work, then I might try something else. But at least I'm giving myself a chance and time to implement that plan. A lot of people have dreams, right? A lot of people want to do stuff, but they never act on it. Or when they do act on it, they might say, well, I get set back once and then move on to something else. If you don't stay long enough, I don't think you can see the grain or the seed that you plant and grow if you don't stay long enough. So make sure first you determine what kind of seed it is that you want to plant. And once you plant that seed, make sure you stand by until you see that seed generate something or not, then you can move on. So that is the kind of mindset that I was able to work with, or that was something that, even though when I came in there, I narrate a little bit more in detail in my book about like how I lived those moments of detention. I will tell you, it was not easy. It was very challenging emotionally because I was breaking down many times because I'm like, well, I mean, what is this? Like you want something, you work hard, you did everything. And then I was put on a deportation procedure, meaning I was going to be removed. You know, if, you know, I didn't go in front of the judge or plead my case and all that, I was going to be removed. So it's not easy thing. And I'm not saying it, you know, lightly today. It was very painful, but you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself.
So what were you thinking the whole time you were in there? You know, you know, you're not supposed to be there because you were right. The school was wrong. But you couldn't prove it. You have to wait. I think you were there for like 4 months, right?
Yes.
You're sitting in jail for 4 months after coming your first day coming to America.
Yes.
What was going through your mind? How did you stay positive? Because most people would have just been like, forget about this.
Yes. And, you know, I was offered a couple of times to sign something called voluntary departure removal, right? Like, if you don't want to be in jail, you can sign it and then they will deport you next day. I was offered that a couple of times. I said no. The immigration officer thought that I was crazy because a lot of people would be like, why do I not be in jail? I want to go back. But I guess there was some hope in me saying that I didn't do anything wrong. And I wasn't, I didn't do anything wrong at all. And this was misunderstood. Mm-hmm. So I had faith somehow that it's going to work out, even though I didn't know how. But I just have hope that, okay, they said that I'm going to go see a judge. And I said, I will go tell the judge exactly what it is. And before that, I didn't even know that the law in America protect arriving alien, right? If you come and then there is something that happened, you can go plead your case. And the government will be, you know, like the prosecution or whatever. You can defend yourself, say, Your Honor, this is what it is, you know, and then you can get out. I didn't know that. So I learned all that with the people that were there. I was in custody with immigration custody, meaning a lot of people that I encounter, all of them was not from America, mostly immigrant. It's an immigrant jail. Like if you break any immigration law or you just arrive, something wasn't right, so you are held in custody. So I learned quickly from those people that I was hanging out with. There was a Jamaican, Haitian, Nigerian. I mean, I saw people from Ireland. I saw people from France that were in that jail. So basically it was everybody that breaking, either they breaking immigration law or doing something, facing some kind of immigration procedure that were in detention. So I learned that. One thing that helped me is when we were there, I call it the power of association. I'm a Christian I grew up Christian family. I was taught to pray and, you know, and be positive and stuff like that. So quickly in the detention, I find out that there are three kind of people. There are some people who are very hopeful about their situation in immigration, like they're going to get out. And then, you know, they're very confident they're going to get out. There are people who lost hope. They're like, yeah, I'm just waiting for my deportation paper to come through and then I can leave. And then there are people who just one way or another, they are confused. I call them like they are in between. They don't know if they want to fight to stay or, you know, stay. So in the group that I associate myself with was the mostly people who were positive, who wanted to fight their case. It was one Jamaican guy, it was one guy from Ethiopia, one Nigerian guy, and another guy, from Gabon. There's another guy from Gabon. So all of us were kind of together by circumstance. And then in the morning after we eat breakfast, we'll get together, discuss our cases in a positive way, and then we pray, right? We pray. So that's how I stay positive because of that small group of people who were positive mind-like, which led me to talk about your association.
So even though you were living a very difficult situation, you still found a way to stay positive.
Absolutely. And that is very key to anyone who's trying to achieve or to go anywhere with their life. Your association, people you talk to on a regular basis, will have impact on the outcome of your life. Either you accept or don't accept, it is true, because you can't just say, well, I'm going to go listen to these people be negative and then I'm going to be okay when I go home. No, because the conversation you have over time replay in your mind. So make sure that if you're trying to do something, go associate yourself with those people who are trying to do the same thing. Because if you don't, I'm telling you, our mind can be weak easily if you don't reinforce your mind constantly. So that's what helped me stay in touch with these people. We were hopeful, we'll pray. Even sometimes we discussed the negative aspect of it, but we were still hopeful that.
Can you hear me? All right, sorry everybody. I think we're having some difficulties here. Let me see. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh yeah, but your can you turn your screen like the other way?
Okay.
Let's try it.
Is better?
No, go back.
Oh, go back this way?
Yeah, I don't know why it's hold on 1 second.
Oh. Is better?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Because it should be split in two. Let me see. Okay, let me try this. Your friend. I don't know why it's the screen just hold on. The rotation change. I don't even know why. Hold on.
You want me to flip it on the other side this way?
Let me try this. Let's see. Okay, well, I guess we just have to improvise. I don't know. But I kind of want to fast forward a little bit. So you stayed in the with the immigration for about 4 months, right?
Yes.
Then you get out, right? Then things change, your situation changes, you start working. I believe at the time you used to be a fry cook at Popeyes, right? You were doing all kind of different jobs, driving taxi, you were like a doorman, doing all these different type of jobs, right? Then you decide to say, hey, I want to get into the army. And I think you met someone while you were doing a taxi or something. So how did that all happen?
So my first job was a fry cook at Popeyes.
Okay.
I was making $6.25 an hour. I was the happiest cook you can find because to me, that was my first opportunity to work. So I was very happy to have that job. And I mean, I think I published a picture when I was, you know, at that restaurant a couple of years ago, and we had a uniform on. I always go to work with smile. I was eager. Like, I mean, you wouldn't believe it was $6 an hour job, because to me, that was my starting point. So even though I was beginning there, I was like, okay, yes, this is my first job, and you know, I'm going to give the best I can. So whenever somebody call out, I'm going. Whenever somebody is missing work for some reason, I'm going to be there. So I made sure that I was the best cook in my own view, the best cook, like I was always on time, smiling, do the right thing. So those attitudes kind of make the management or the people there like me, because everybody said, well, you know, if you can work, call Comey, he will come and do it. And I was eager too. So that created an environment that I was able to learn a few things here and there. And as my English was improving, I got my second job as a bell person at the Sofitel Hotel here in DC. So, you know, you carry luggage for the guests who check in, you smile, you talk to them, and then, you know, you escort them to the front desk, they check in, they take the bags to the upstairs, and then you talk to them about, you know, the amenity in the area, the restaurant and stuff like that, and then they will tip you. Mm-hmm. So that was my first job that I would say get me out of myself, because I used to be very shy. Like I can't hold conversation with somebody that I don't know, but that job gradually break that ice for me. And I was very grateful to have that job. And then I get the second job of that. And later on, I moved from bellman to be a doorman. When people come, you open the door for them, you welcome them and all kind of stuff. I was doing that in the back of my head. I was grateful for those jobs. But in my head, I knew that I can do more. I can be more.
Yeah.
And I see myself.
That wasn't your final destination. You know that, hey, this is just temporary.
Yes. So I was doing all that job. And this is not unique to me, Comey. We all immigrants that come to this country, we go through that, regardless of whatever job we held in the past. I mean, in the country that we come from. We all immigrants go to that. Every immigrant that come to this country first start off somewhere, either car wash, restaurant, hotel, someplace, absolutely, and then move on. So this is not unique to me. The attitude, I would say the difference was in the attitude, because I was like, yes, I'm here, but I'm going to do the next level and then the next level, to the point where I become a taxi driver in the state of Kentucky. So, you know, I describe my experience in the book, Chasing My Dream, about what a pleasure I had as a taxi driver. Even though I was, I was working like crazy, like 16 hours a day, but I was happy because that was my job. And then that was during that time, and my life wasn't going the way I really wanted to. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to be a grumpy cab driver. I was still happy cab driver. Yeah. And then my attitude was good. And that was the day I picked up a guest who was going to the airport. And he's like chatting, like, you know, how are you? He hear my accent. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Togo. He said, how long you been here? I tell him, he's like, okay, what you doing? I said, yeah, I'm doing this. And he's like, you know what? For what you just described to me, the army can give you that. I said, the army? He said, yes. Yes. So.
And you had never thought about the army up until that point?
No. No, it was just because, and again, I encourage people to have open mind, right? You don't know where your destiny is going to take you. Sometimes we want things certain way, and then we are so fixed on the way we want it to happen to the point where it doesn't happen that way. We think like it's never going to happen. So I was just open-minded because I was looking for citizenship, and then I was looking for money to go to college. And it just happened that the army, you know, give those two. If you sign up, like, you know, I didn't have much to look up to, because that, I mean, I was here. I was just fighting for myself. to get myself a better life. So when he suggested to me, I didn't take the suggestion immediately, but it was still in the back of my head. Then I get another job, which is like, I was working like a printing paper company. I was working like 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And my job was a really labor intense job.
Like, you were just working crazy hours, just trying to do anything to make money.
Crazy. Because you know it, as an African, you come here, first of all, you're here by yourself. Meanwhile, you know, you have a family in the back home, you know, stuff to do, you know. And so I was really trying to just make it. So again, that last job was what my last straw was, because I wasn't going anywhere. My life wasn't moving. I was working all this hour, but I have no money to show for. I have nothing. And then I decided, you know what? I think I'm going to take this guy on his advice. And I went through the process and joined the army. And I think right now, even my recruiter is watching, because he was the best recruiter for the army. That, I mean, this guy set me up so good, because when I was trying to join, I ran into people who tell me, no, you can't join because you don't have citizen. You can't do this. You can't do this, because they didn't know, until I met this guy who, shout out to him, he helped me out all the way. Like he said,
you can't always listen to what people say.
No,
because people will always, you know, I remember when you said, when you told people that you wanted to be an officer in the army, and people were like, what do you mean an officer? You know, you have an accent, you come from another country, how are you going to be an officer? And I related to that message, because I'm in financial services, insurance and financial services. I'm with a company called PHP Agency, and we're like the fastest growing financial marketing organization right now.
Okay.
And we help people with their personal finance, retirement, insurance. And when I told people that this is what I want to do, people are like, man, you know, you have to talk to people. You have to speak in public. Do you want to do that? Because we don't do that kind of stuff. I was like, who said that? Who said that we don't do that kind of stuff? So I related to your message when you said that. So people were telling you can't do it, but you still persevere and did it.
Yes. So, you know, they have sometimes when people don't know something and they don't willing to search for it, it's easy for them to just tell you no.
Yeah.
Before I continue, is there any way we can move our screen? Because I believe we are upside down completely on the screen. People are watching us. I don't know if we can try again.
Let me see if I can try something here.
Yeah. We are completely upside down, and I'm sure they're not going to be happy about it.
How about now?
I'm watching it on Facebook. You still look. Let me go back.
Can you try to turn your camera, rotate? Let's see. Are you still there? I think we lost him again.
Okay, turn my camera now.
Hold on 1 second. Yeah, you upside down.
Okay. So you want me to turn it this way?
The other way. Can you turn it one more time?
This way?
No. Just turn it one more time.
This way?
No, now you're upside down.
Okay, wait.
Hold on 1 second. What does it show? Hold on 1 second. Is it still upside down?
Yeah, you're upside down.
Okay, let me move it. How about now? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How about now? Is it still upside down?
Let me see. Yeah, you tilt on the side, but let me adjust my. Is that better?
Okay, that's for me, for you right now, I can see perfect.
Me too, I can see perfect. That's good.
Okay. Yeah, so where were we? So yeah, so you said you can't listen to people because people will always tell you sometimes. And I feel like sometimes people are afraid, and because maybe they've tried something, it didn't work. You know, they want to tell you that it's not going to work for you.
Yes. So, yes. And again, it goes back to what we discussed about, if you want to do something, find people who are doing it and associate yourself with them. Otherwise, absolutely. If you are with someone who doesn't want to do it and is not confident enough to say, you know what, at least let me try, they can hinder your own progress. So sometimes it's not like they have a bad intention. It's just because they don't know, and then they will go off the wrong information, and then they will telling you all the wrong information that they know, and that can discourage you. So you have to be really strong-minded to fight that and then to move on and be able to do it. So sometimes the relative that we have, not that they have bad intention, it's just they don't know and they don't want to admit to it. So I encourage everyone, if you want to be an engineer, find somebody that is in engineering field and ask him how he's an engineer. If you want to be a doctor, find somebody that is in that field. If you want to be a hairdresser or a cook or a mechanic or whatever field you decide to be, you need to find someone in that field and talk to that person. Mm-hmm. Don't go off your relative or your best friend, because sometimes your best friend might not know, your relative might not know, and then they won't be able to tell you.
I agree. You have to change. You have to change your environment. You have to be around people that have done the things that you want to do, because I mean, it's, I always tell people, it's like, we all have parents. We have, if my parents can give me advice about how to be a good parent, right?
Yes.
But if my parents never lived in America, for example, they can't give me an advice on living in America because it's completely different, right?
Yes. Yes.
So that's a good point. I agree with that. So, some of the main points you talk about a lot in your book, you talk about attitude, you talk about, you know, resilience, you know, the fact that you went through all of these things. You also talk about something that I believe in, which is goal settings, you know, with how goal settings change your life completely. You know, just the fact of putting something on paper, because it's one of those things that we don't learn in school.
Yes.
You know, nobody talk about that in school. So, you know, how has... Because a lot of people look at your story, they say, oh man, he's not an engineer at the Pentagon. You know, he's a US Army officer, which is not something easy to do. And they say, oh man, he was lucky, right?
Yes.
But they don't really understand. And by the way, for those of you still watching the video right now, you know, go get the book. If you're an immigrant, you just came here from another country, you have a dream, you want to follow your dream, you want to chase your dream, there's so many good principles in this book that will tell you about mental toughness, resilience, you know, how to stay positive. So many things you can learn. I learned a lot from this book, so I'm sure you will learn as well. If you want to start a business, right, you want to become an author, so many things you want to do, I highly, highly recommend you get this book. And you can get it on Amazon. I got mine on Amazon. Where else can they get the book?
I mean, it's on my website, comiafetti.com. And it's also on Amazon. So you can get it from either Amazon or comiafetti.com.
Comiafetti. Okay. All right. So everybody just get the book. Talk about goal settings. You know, what would be your advice to someone right now that's watching the video? They want to go out there. They want to follow the dream. I think everybody has a dream. I think sometimes we don't want to admit that we have dreams because we're afraid that we won't be able to accomplish it.
Yes.
But there's nobody, I don't know any person who doesn't have a dream. What's your advice for someone that wants to go out there and chase their dream and make it happen?
So what I will say for anyone, like you say, who has their dream to do something, there is a big dream and there's a small dream in very various areas of your life, right? It could be a personal, it could be financial, it could be professional, mm-hmm. educational, social, spiritual. It could be any area of your life. You need to set the goal of it. First, you need to look around you and see when you come to profession, what it is that you're trying to do. And then you have to set that, you have to determine that first, because you cannot go to a destination you don't have in mind. You can't get to a point where you don't have in mind.
Yeah.
So you need to see first where it is that you want to be, regardless of where you actually are today. Because as long mm-hmm. as you're alive, there is something about human which is very powerful, that you can go to the future, think about stuff you want to do, have, and be, and come back and formulate a plan and then go on to that direction. So you cannot get to your destination overnight, but you can change your direction that you're going. For instance, if you are an immigrant who just came to this country, or you've been here for some years and you feel like you are stuck in one job or one area of your life, is for you to mm-hmm. step back and ask yourself, what is the other field, or what is the other thing that I want to do with my career-wise? And then when you determine that, if you find out that I want to be software engineer, or I want to be, I don't know, I'm just giving the example that I'm more accustomed to. So you figure that one first, then you say, okay, how do I become an engineer? Today, you can even do a simple Google search. And then they say, okay, you have to take these courses, you have to take this. You're going to go deep into the steps that are required. So you need to set that goal first. Say, okay, I want to be an engineer. And sometimes you have to put time on it. You say, in 6 years, I want to be an engineer. Then you will find yourself a school that teach engineering.
Emphasize on that, Komi. Emphasize on that, because I think that's very important. I like that you mentioned you have to be specific.
Yes.
Right? Because it's everybody can say, okay, my goal is to lose pounds by the end of the year. But the point is, how many pounds do I want to lose by this specific date, this and that, and then you have goals, right? Because I used not to do that. You know, I was like, hey, this is gonna be my goal. And then when I don't reach the goal, I'm like, how come I didn't reach my goal? Because it wasn't specific.
Yes.
And there was no time and date.
Yes. So
you talk about being specific with your goals.
Yes, I detail it more in the book, but the quick version is you need to have a deadline, right? You need to have a deadline.
Exactly.
Say, by this time, I'm going to do this. What it does to you is it forces you to come up with a plan. Because if you say, for instance, I'm going to lose 50 pounds by the end of the year, meanwhile, you don't lose any pound at the end of the month, do you think by the end of the year you're going to be there? I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
So you have to fix a timeline so you can hold yourself accountable. Say, okay, I say I'm going to do this. I'm going to run 1 mile a day. And if a day goes by, you don't run, then you should hold yourself accountable, because the addition of anything you're doing today will lead you to the future. It will show you clearly what it is that you're going to be doing. So you have to set specific timeline. Now, people say, what if I don't reach my goal by the timeline I set myself? Set another one. But first, hold yourself accountable. Do everything in your power to get it by that deadline. And if that deadline doesn't work, you can push it. But you're not pushing it.
You can always readjust.
You can readjust. So give yourself flexibility, because life is not always black and white, or it has to be this. You have to be flexible, accept that there will be setback, there will be some, but at least you know you have a deadline. Say, you know what, in 2 years, I'm going to finish my education by 2021. So it forces you to think about it. If you need 120 credit to get a bachelor, and right now you are in 2019, you haven't even started your class yet, then if you do the math, the average student will take 12 credit per semester. So if you start adding that up, you're going to see like, okay, how long is it going to take me to get 120 credit? So that's what the timeline does to you. It forces you to really think about the step you need. So if you want to graduate with 120 credit and you're taking, I would say per year, you're taking 24 credit, do the math. You will see how many years it's going to take you. Then that means you might say, you know what, since it's going to be 24 credit in 1 year, maybe let me take 15 credit every semester, and then I'm going to take extra credit in the summer, summer one, summer two. So it gives you visual. Then you can set your goal, say, you know, by 2023, at least, I can graduate. Mm-hmm. So that is very specific goal that you have to set for yourself to hold yourself accountable. And also you can measure your progress if you are moving into that direction or not.
So it sounds very simple, but, you know, most of us don't do it. I don't know why. You know, when it comes to writing things on paper, you know, I don't know why we don't do it. I've started doing it about a couple of years ago. I've been going on and off, but I realize that every time I write it down, even like if I say, okay, today, tomorrow, I got to do this, 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 and this, and I write it down in my calendar. When I see it, then it gives me the motivation to just cross it all the time. And I'm like, okay, I'm following my goal. I'm going after it and everything. So we can, before we kind of wrap up, you know, I just want to touch on some last points before I let you go. So what's next for Komi? What's next? Because I know now, you know, you have a lot of speaking engagement, right?
Yes.
You know, I've seen you on some TV channels, you know, talking about your book, promoting your book, either here across the country or overseas, back home in Lomé, different countries in Africa. So what's the next dream? Because I know the dream is not over. There's more to come. What's next? I know you also have Afexe Consulting International. You started a company.
Yes. So
tell us a little bit about that.
So I'm very grateful for what, you know, God allowed me and myself and able to do at this point. And I say that every day that I wake up and I'm still alive, that means I have a mission, and that is the dream, keep going, right? So right now what I'm focused on is to spread this message, because I'm not the only immigrant who did what I'm doing. In fact, I have met a lot of African descent or African from Africa all over serving the army, but it seems that they just don't talk about it. I realize is we all go through this struggle in our own little corners. How about we put that out there, and now we're helping people that are coming over. I'm in this country for 15 years. 15 years, that's a long time. And I'm very grateful. Yeah. Now, tonight, there is somebody landing at the airport, first time stepping foot in America, without any knowledge, without any guidance, without nobody to tell them which way to go or not. So my goal now is to keep pushing this message. I cannot tell you how many people reach out to me asking questions about either joining the army or what to do in the country. So my focus now is to tell people about, okay, if you are here, you are young, you are immigrant, or you want to join the army, here is the process to do it. If you want to go to school, here is what I can tell you. If you want to do this, people ask me, like, should I go to school for this or that? And I say, well, let's face it. Right now, I'm not a educational advisor with certified, but I can tell you, if you study certain major in school right now, if you get out, there is no job for you, because that's that's just the way the economy is. So you have to be realistic. So I can help younger people or anybody who's looking for the next things to do, because I'm fortunate enough that I went through so many transformation in 15 years, a long time, you know, it's a long time. And then I learned certain things. Now my mission is to spread that. And then I want to have engagement like I'm having with you right now to share this message, because you have a similar story. You have a similar story. You have a similar background. You went through pretty much the same thing that I went through in a different way. So now let's have a conversation, encourage each other or anyone who's looking for advice to go to the next level. For me, I have a daytime job that I love. I do things, you know, the way they are right now. And my goal is now to keep promoting this idea, because I don't want us to just come. We are very intelligent, smart people. We're very capable. Mm-hmm. We're very resilient. And we need to help the others who sometimes they got a tendency to get lost a little bit or get weaker because they are not the surrounding.
Provide some guidance.
This video right now, somebody will watch it later and it will tell something to them. To me, that's my new mission. As far as a specific goal right now, I'm just grateful. I don't know where this will take me, but anywhere that there is going to be conversation about how to do things either in America or in life in general, or just kind of share life experiences to help somebody. That's all it is. Because I will be honest with you. I read about people who walk the path that I'm walking right now. That's what I can sit here and tell you certain things. I didn't invent none of this. I didn't create them.
Yeah.
But I read it somewhere about somebody who did it, and that's why I can able to replicate that. That person might be dead or no longer in activity, but now I become, you know, the spokesperson of that philosophy, that idea. So my goal now is to promote that, and that's what my affective consulting is about. It's about speaking engagement. It's about coaching, mentoring, and anywhere that I'm invited, time permit, I will go and speak. I will do it for free because to me, that's the next goal. I'm very grateful for where I am now, and I just want to share it.
Okay, absolutely. And you know, I love that. I love the fact that you want to share, you want to spread the message. I believe happiness is about growth and contribution. When you feel like you're growing, you're evolving, and you want to contribute, so you want to help other people. So I love that. And anything I can do to help, let me know, man. I want to help you as much as I can. So for my viewers, right, before we leave, tell us where can people find you? Are you on Facebook, Instagram? Where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you type Komi Afeti, you will find me right there. Send me a message, send me a comment, send me anything that in your mind, anything that I can do help with. If I don't have the answer, I will pass it on to somebody else because we live in an information age. I know some stuff that, you know, probably you don't know because you are not in my area of expertise, and you do know something that I don't know. So if I have a question, who is best suited to answer me that question when it comes to financial stuff? You. So that's what are we trying to do now. We want to create a virtual platform where we can share ideas. So I'm on Facebook, I'm Twitter, Instagram. When you just type Komi Afeti, you'll find me.
Komi Afeti.
Follow me, send me your comment messages, and I would love it.
Okay, great, great. So I want to do one last thing for the viewers. So if you're still watching this video, either on live or on replay, or you're listening to the podcast, make sure that you leave us a review or you leave a comment or you share this video. If you do, we're going to select one person, right? So you have until Sunday. So you have from today to Sunday, leave a comment, share the video, or leave us a review on the podcast, the 9 to 5 Outsiders podcast. And if you do, we select one person, we're going to send you, Komi, are you okay with that, sending them a free copy of the book?
Absolutely. I will sign a copy. I will provide a signed autograph copy to whoever you would decide tonight.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Guys, I encourage you to go get the book, to go take a look at it. It's so many good information in this book that can definitely change your life. So, Komi, it was a pleasure having you on the show, man. Thank you so much. I wish you a lot of success in the future, and hopefully we can do this again.
Absolutely. Thank you again, and we'll stay in touch and see what we can come out as a next project to do to help and to keep learning and keep growing. Thank you again.
Absolutely. 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 All right, man. Take it easy, my brother.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, and just like usual, thank you for listening to the 95 Outsider podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, right, make sure to subscribe to this podcast. And if it's your first time, subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a 5-star review on any platform you're listening to, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcast you listen to. And let us know, you know, what you think about the show. And if you like it, follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram, Twitter. You can find me at Usman Diallo TX. And glad to have you on the show today. And I'll see you on the next episode. And remember, if you know more and you do more, you can become more.